Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew. We are still in chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. This is God's Word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they were told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Out of Egypt I called my son." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, we have looked at this passage before, and we've talked about the fact that Joseph models for us obedience. I want us this time to look at the wise men. We don't know if they had a camel or not, or if they had three camels, or if there were three of them. In typical church pageants, you've got Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, and the shepherds come in and they worship. And then here come some guys dressed up in fancy clothes, unlike the shepherds, and they are apparently the wise men because they've got a camel. And so you rent a camel and you bring it in, and that signals that these are the wise men, and we know that from the Hallmark cards. There are three of them. Why are there three? Because tradition says there were three. Why does tradition say there were three? Because three kinds of gifts are mentioned. They offered him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, that's three gifts, so it must have been three guys, okay? So that's kind of the way the logic has developed over the years. And here they are, all there at the stable, and it's a lovely scene, and then we all stand together and sing something. Silent Night, Away in a Manger, something, okay? And we feel warm inside, and it's grand. But it's not accurate, and I hope you know that. Because if you look at this story, they didn't show up the night Jesus was born. They showed up when Jesus was a child. And based on what we read in this passage, it had probably been about 2 years, because Herod is going to order all the children 2 years old and younger killed. And so he's somewhere in that 2 year time frame. Okay? He's a child. The word used for him is the word for child, not babe. He was a baby born in a place where animals were, and he was placed in a feeding trough. That was his first bed. But now he's a child living in a home in Bethlehem with his mother and father. And so when they come, when the wise men come, they're going to come not looking for a baby, but looking for a child. And that tells us that the Christmas pageants have got it wrong. But I want you to understand something. Even though the Christmas pageants don't generally get the story right, these wise men are an important part of the lesson of Christmas. Because what they did models for us how we should respond to Jesus and to the fact that God sent him into this world to save us. Look again at what happened. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." Okay, so they traveled a long way to get there. If the child is now about 2 years old, they've come a long distance. Even on foot, you can walk a long way in 2 years, okay? And they had seen something that was so different and so compelling, and they understood it to mean not just, oh, the Jews have a new ruler, but this is someone we need to worship. The first thing I want you to see about this lesson is that the right response to Jesus is to worship him. To worship him. Now, what does that mean? It means to demonstrate our understanding of his worth. The word worship, W-O-R-S-H-I-P, comes from the word worth, W-O-R-T-H. And it has to do with recognizing the worth of something, the value of something. I just heard a story last evening about a true event where a man who's arguably the greatest living violinist decided to do a little experiment, and he went down into the subway and he played his Stradivarius violin, an instrument that is worth millions of dollars. And guess what the response of the people in the subway was? She walked right past him. The guy's playing in the subway. He can't be all that great. Okay? And so they did not recognize what they were receiving. They were being given a gift. You'd pay high dollar to go to a concert hall and hear this guy. But because he was performing in the subway, people just blew it off. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and there was no room for him in the inn. He had to be out with the animals. This is God becoming a man, and we didn't have room. Not such a big deal. Oh, never been such a big deal. God became a man, and he was kept outside. Now, these folks, the wise men, they saw something in the sky that signaled to them not just the birth of a foreign leader, but someone whose worth they needed to honor. And they came to worship Jesus. That was the purpose of their going to meet with him. Let me ask you, what is your purpose when you go to meet with God? Do you have the intent of worshiping him? Or are you just here because you got to be here, you know? I mean, it's required. On Sunday, well, we go to church because that's what we do. I mean, you know, we just do that. We just go. I mean, these folks traveled a great distance. It wasn't easy. It wasn't casual. It wasn't convenient. They set aside other things, other responsibilities, other obligations, and they prioritized coming to worship Jesus. And if you and I recognize who he is, we ought to want to worship him. That ought to be our heart's desire. One of our responsibilities, if we are sincere followers of Jesus, is to gather with other believers to worship him. Now, we don't all have to go to the same church, but we certainly need to go to church and to do so not with the intent of socializing, not with the intent of being seen, but with the intent of worshiping him. That's supposed to be the reason why we go. So again, I ask you, what is your purpose? What is your goal? What do you have in mind when you go to church? When you kneel to pray? When you have devotions on your own, personally? Are you really wanting to meet with God? If we read the scriptures rightly, not only is God speaking to us, but he's speaking to us about Jesus. And as we understand what he's saying, it should cause us to recognize the worth of our Savior, the greatness and the glory of our God. It should cause us to want to honor him.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. I actually enjoy buying gifts for my wife and children. And that's good, because I've got 7 children. I give gifts to my 8 grandchildren and to my staff as well. And at this time of year, I make some special gifts to several ministries that I believe are doing a good job sharing the gospel. Well, I'd be grateful if you would make a special year-end gift to Abiding in Christ like I do. Use the mail. Give online if you'd like at pastorwood.org or call 866-41-ABIDE. But please, let us hear from you before the year is out. Thanks so much.
So, they came to worship him. Now, verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed. God willing, we're going to talk about Herod's response tomorrow. But what I want you to see is that Herod didn't say, oh, great. Okay? Because he didn't want to worship Jesus. But please understand, not everybody wants to worship. Okay? We should, those of us who recognize who Jesus is, should be moved to worship him. But not everybody is happy about Jesus being the king. He was born to rule. You go back and you look at the Old Testament passages about him, he not only came so that we could be forgiven, but he came to establish his kingdom, his rule, his reign. We don't just need to be forgiven for our sins, we need to be delivered from our sins. We need our lives changed. We need to live in a world where people, including us, do the right thing. And so it's sad to me that so much emphasis is put on our forgiveness that we often overlook that the fact that the purpose of our being forgiven is so that we can draw close to God. It's not so that we can continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. And so what we need is not just forgiveness, we need cleansing. We need to change. So Jesus came as a king. And not everyone is enthused. But the wise men, being wise men, worshiped him as the king. They recognized not only is he great, but he's a ruler. And it turns out he's the ruler. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And so when they learned that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, well, I've got to look at it more closely. Verse 5, the chief priests and scribes of the people were asked where the Christ would be born. And the answer was in Bethlehem of Judea, because this is what was written by the prophet. Why is he going to be born there? Because God said so. Okay? God declared where Jesus would be born. And so even the chief priests and the scribes, who would turn out not to be friends of God, not to be friends of Jesus, even they recognized this is what God says, so that's the answer to your question as to where he's going to be born. So Herod secretly summoned, verse 7, the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. Now Herod was the sort of mini king. He was called King Herod, but he was not the supreme ruler. He was a ruler over a region. When King Herod said he wanted to go and worship, it wasn't because he wanted to worship, but he told these guys, you're in my territory, you come back and let me know where this newborn, this child is. Come back and let me know. And they didn't. They didn't. They disobeyed the king. They went against the government. Why? Because they knew there was one who was greater. I've told you before numerous times, please understand it. No one has the authority to command what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. We have brothers and sisters in Christ right now in many parts of the world who are suffering because they continue to obey God instead of their government. The government says you can't do that, and they say God tells us we must. And so they go ahead and they obey. They're not trying to be rebellious. They're simply obeying the one who rules forever and ever. And if it means they pay with their life, whether going to prison or just being executed, they know they're doing the right thing because this is what God commands. We take things so for granted. We so easily can just go to church, gather with others, choose the church we want to go to, choose the translation we want to have. There are people who risk their lives in order to protect their congregation's copy of the scriptures. Sometimes just one of the books of the Bible is all that they have. What are we doing with our Bibles? Some of you, thank God, are memorizing yours. That is a good, good, good thing. But please understand, we have been given treasure. And we need to come to the Lord with a heart of worship. Because there may come a time when the government in this land will not allow the freedoms that we have so abused. When they went and they met with Jesus, he was a child. What did they do? They bowed down to him. They got lower than he was. He's a little boy. He's a child. And they're worshiping him. Why? Did he have a little gold ring floating above his head? You know? Oh, that must be him. He's got that halo. No? The Bible says he didn't have anything about his appearance that would cause us to desire him. But the fact of the matter is, they knew who he was. And because they knew who he was, they worshiped him. They bowed before him. What's your attitude? What's your posture? I'll just tell you, I am uncomfortable with how easy it is for many folks to sing about lifting our hands before the Lord while standing with our hands behind our back or in our pockets. It almost gives me the impression we're not paying attention to what we're singing. Worship isn't just something we keep inside. It's something we express, including physically and financially. These guys not only bowed down and worshiped him, they gave him gifts. They gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. They gave something of great value, not to Mary, but to Jesus. And by the way, they saw Jesus and Mary and they worshiped him. That's what it says. Worship Jesus. Worship him. That's what we should do. And again, they gave. And by the way, they did it joyfully. They were overwhelmed, verse 10, with joy. Is that the way you approach worship?
Oh, it's time to worship again.
It ought to be such a joy that we get to do this. That we get to honor the Lord and express our gratitude to him. Falling to their knees, they worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Please understand this. The final step in worship, we already talked about it, obedience. Romans 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That is real worship.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.